Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Dan.
This is the Board Game Rundown.
It was.
And today we are going to talk about games we played, news, crowdfunding, and a topic that I find interesting. We're going to talk about a particular slice of games and just kind of go back and forth with some of the options and what do we think. What are some of our favorites?
But first, make sure you like and subscribe and ring the bell to get the notifications and share to all your friends and family.
Anything we talk about is open for discussion. So you guys talk in that comment section.
We love it.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've gotten that Dan's an idiot. It's, you know, it's a fun conversation to have.
You know what, though? That's a good point, though. Even if you don't agree with us, I enjoy let's talk about it, right?
Yeah, as long as it's an intelligent,
friendly.
I disagree because of this, not just literally you are an idiot, period.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little different.
No. Yeah. We had a little Dan had a little back and forth, and it never got nasty or anything.
Yeah, no.
But it was just like, hey, we appreciate this. And there was clear and concise points made back and forth. And it was, I appreciate the engagement with the community. So thank you for that. Games we played.
My list is, how you say, tiny. I'll say really quick. I got a actual three-player game of Marvel United played.
Oh, right on.
So I got Catherine and a friend to play, and we played, and we lost. So that's something you can lose at that game.
It feels like it's easy, but it's not.
But I'm just saying I won when I was solo.
Yeah.
And then
all of a sudden here comes some teammates and you're like, you know what?
Again, a fun little game. I knew that they would because it plays super fast. Like honestly, the reason I played that one and not anything else with them is because I knew I was like, I can talk them into this. I was like, guys, it's like half an hour max. It's super easy. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just crank out a game.
Barely an inconvenience.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back with these references here. So Marvel United, we've talked about it before. Super light family weight Marvel game where you are the board is laid out in kind of a circle, like there's multiple tiles kind of, and you're moving around. Red Skull is who we face moving around, and we have to complete objectives and then beat him up before he accomplishes his fear track.
Right.
That's it. You can find it pretty much everywhere. It's super accessible. It's good. Again, super family weight. It's a light game.
So here's the thing, and I think now, like, thinking about this more like you talk about it. Here's sort of my problem with that, Simon, like just the way they do things sometimes, right? So Marvel United, tons of stuff out for that game.
Yes.
Tons of stuff, right? I mean, like they just had that second Kickstarter that's now filling with all the X-Men stuff, right? All sorts of really cool stuff. But this is a game that like there's some games that are like real like Cthulhu Wars, right? I full disclosure, I went all in, I got everything for it, I continue to get everything
for it. So picture more money you've ever seen before.
But I also use a lot of it, and I feel like a lot of it changes the game a lot with the when you introduce these new elements.
And that's the point.
And I don't know that Marvel United does that enough.
Not only do you not know, I know it doesn't.
Okay.
I mean, especially after playing it now. The character decks are barely different. It's just like, okay, well, Hulk has more punches than everyone else, right? But then any character who's known for strength...
I mean, they've got, like, little things, right? Like, so Hulk, damages everybody.
Some of their cards have a special ability, but it's literally, like... they have a deck of, like, I don't know. Again, I'm going off my mind.
Well, okay, so to even just take another Marvel game, right? Marvel Champions.
Right.
Each character that you add...
Drastically changes
the
game.
Or villain...
Yeah.
Drastically changes the way you play that game. Sentinels of the Multiverse. There's a ton of stuff out for that game. But, right, each character drastically changes.
Yeah.
Everything plays differently.
Right.
Does things in a different way.
I just can't imagine them charging the, like, $300
for
Marvel United.
You are buying plastic chibis for the IP.
To play with your kids.
And that's fine if that's what you're into.
I
just couldn't justify it because I didn't feel like that there was enough... value.
Yeah, you're literally, like you just said, you're buying the Wolverine miniature.
Yeah.
When you get the X-Men thing, you're buying the Wolverine miniature.
It looks really cool. Like, yeah. I'm not dogging it.
Right? I am.
Because it looks cool. But I'm happy to
play it. Don't see it.
I'm happy to play somebody else's. Like, I don't know that I ever will feel like, oh, I just need that, right?
You gotta have all that.
But anyways,
sure.
And again, full disclosure, I've gone all in on
big games like
with
that.
Tons of stuff.
Yeah, I went all in on Nemesis.
So I get it.
That's a big boy.
But there's a lot of variable health. Mm-hmm. Variable.
Freudians.
There's a lot of variables in that, right? And huge dynamic shifts with different things that you introduce into that game.
Like the different aliens and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just completely different strategies with different things that you introduce. And I feel like that... if you're going to go whole hog in a game like that, it's one thing to just, oh, I want to have all the characters, and that's totally cool if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. But if from a, I'm trying to get as much value out of this game for the money I'm going to put into it.
It's not there.
It just wasn't there for me. I do think it's a good game.
Yeah, it is. And I do think if you do want expansions for the game and you're thinking about all this stuff, I don't know how exactly they come, but just from my experience playing the game now, villain expansions will add more than hero expansions.
I agree with that.
The way that the villain changes the game is something that changes every round. Not drastically, but it changes every round to where the heroes change every four rounds, five rounds, if you have one of those special cards.
I would say if Marvel United, you can get it. You can get it real cheap, the base game. And then find like a couple of characters that you really like.
Yeah.
You know, seek those out. And then, yes, when you need a new experience, get a new villain.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will change it enough that I think you'll get something out of it. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to like...
No, that's it.
I just had some thoughts about that finally coalesced.
Yeah.
Like coherency.
No, now you see how much he interrupts. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
but no, I'm glad.
You work with a monster.
You got anything, Bob, that you haven't told us yet?
About what? Marvel United?
No, about games played.
Yeah, I haven't talked at all.
So much.
No, I just didn't know how much you played this week.
My list is also very short.
Okay.
I did set up a few games, but a lot of plans fell through, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We're unable to complete our game of War Room, which is unfortunate. However, my friend Ben came over for our every other Fridays, and we're the ones that he did Gloomhaven with me.
Oh, right on.
He did Clank with me.
Right.
We started our journey into darkness on Friday night.
Oh, Descent. Yeah. Just so you know, I told...
I
told Dan and I told Spencer, I was like, you effectively removed yourself from our game of Descent.
You have chosen other people over us.
Oh.
You mean
so we have to now play without you.
Exactly.
Because you're going to know other things.
I'll play with other
people. I know you wouldn't care.
I'll probably get through it faster than you guys will.
You will.
Because Ben shows up every week.
Exactly. That's not even a question. Yeah,
that's fair.
So, okay.
But no, so how far did you just play the opening scenario?
Yeah, the one that we all kind of tried out before. We got all the way, I don't want to spoilers too much, but inside to the gate.
Uh-huh.
And then we have been playing for about an hour and a half at that point, but like between the like showing them everything, pulling it all out, kind of setting it up, it was getting past 2 a.m. and we're like, let's call here at go because I know there's more coming and it's a good breaking point.
Did you have to build your terrain that night too?
No, I traded an old game for this game.
Oh yeah,
so it was all assembled already, which is super helpful. Yeah. So,
so what was Ben? How did Ben like it so far?
He really enjoyed it, and like I guess at first he didn't catch the part where I said like because you can flip your card over as an action, any card, and that makes all the tokens
all
drop
the tokens
off. And he was like trying to figure out how to get rid of of all of his strain and whatnot. And then like one time he saw me like I'm gonna go ahead and flip and lose my strain. He's like. It just falls off. And I was like, yeah, I missed that part. I'm like, oh, yeah, dude. Well, like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm flipping over. I'm doing this, that, you know, and I'm like, all right.
And again, though, right, you're in the opening
scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when you figure it out, right? Like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
It doesn't kill you.
It cost him like two rounds, three rounds.
Yeah. I was purposely going to wait till my last session to tell people that. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you could have switched over the whole time.
The whole time. You've been playing for 9 years.
Yeah, right.
What have you done to us?
Yeah, but no, it's super cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I really am a big fan of that game, so I'm glad
it's a great game.
Glad to hear that it's getting played.
Gloomhaven's okay.
Yep.
Any other?
For games actually played, just the one we played together.
Okay. So we'll save that for last, because I played a couple of games.
Sure, go for it.
So I was lucky enough to get the stars were not aligned for Dan and I. We tried several times to get together for games, and it was like work was not cooperating one way or the other, whether it was my job on two different days or his job on the one day that I had completely open.
Yeah.
But Spencer came over, and we started off, and we played Pendulum from Stonemaier Games.
Okay, yeah.
Has notoriously...
I'm trying to get that game played forever.
Notoriously gotten bad reviews, and I just kind of, and I don't know why I picked Spencer to do this with, because it could have gone.
Well, like, it's a timed game.
Fair point. Spencer notoriously takes a long time with his games. But anyways, we went through the rules. It's all actually pretty straightforward. There is a real-time aspect to the game. You could play it without. I said, I want to play this with the real-time thing because I just want to experience the game
as it was designed.
It is designed. Correct. And essentially, you're assigning workers and you've got like these areas and these timers flip from one side of the area to another. And so each area has an identical action selection, like where you're going to place your workers to pick them to do things. And you've got regular workers and you've got grande workers, kind of like viticulture. Mm-hmm. So your grande can go where another worker is. Otherwise, little worker blocks little worker. So placing your workers is all real time. The problem then is that, and I say problem, the catch, because it's not really a negative, is that when a timer flips, when it's out, somebody can choose to flip that timer. I'm going to reach over, I'm going to turn that timer over, right? Now you've effectively locked off that row. So all of the workers there, they drop down into the action you have selected. You resolve that action whenever you want. But you can't pick that worker up while the timer's there, and you can't place workers in that area while the timer's there. So you're effectively having to plan when, you know, like in future turns. Sure. So I put guys here, and sometimes you're just waiting and you're just watching a timer. You're
right.
Like waiting for it to go. And then you go, you know, you flip it and it might mess somebody else up because you might lock off an area
that
right?
they were trying to use.
Or you could even, if they weren't paying attention and left a worker there, now that worker's locked back in because you can't take your workers off or put workers on an area while there's a timer on it.
Yeah.
And then there's an interesting thing. So on the left side, I believe it's the purple timer. So every other one has just got like one spot for each, right? On the purple side, you've got the matching action bars, for lack of a better, right?
Okay.
But there's two spots by each one. And on the spots where the timer isn't, you put a little hourglass token. So it flips over to the next, to the bottom bar, so it frees up this one, but it knocks off one of the hourglass tokens. And so when it flips back up here, it knocks off an hourglass token. When it flips down here, it knocks off the last hourglass token. No, once that last hourglass token has been flipped, no other timers can be flipped. And so that effectively, you're placing your last workers, and they're not going to get to activate because the timers aren't going to move back over, right? Mm. So you don't really need to place your workers, but you just resolve your actions. Then you go to a council phase. And so then you're seeing if you've met like an objective to get points, and everybody's got their own board, and you've got these little score tracks. So you're trying to push everything as far as you can, all these rows down, and you can max out your rows and things like that. And there, you have to get past a certain point to even qualify to win. So you're doing all these things, and you're doing all these actions, and then you can place things, and you've got cards that will like allow you to gain resources because you're triggering things, and you've got this awesome little, there are these other cards you can buy which are like territories, and they're going to give you, they basically are going to slide under your playmat, and they're going to have a little icon showing. When you activate that section, it's going to trigger all the things that you have showing.
That's what I was going to talk about. I like that.
Like so engine building.
Where you're making one action stronger and stronger. And
yes. Yeah. And it behooves you to try to balance those. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing though is that during the council phase, you check, and if any of them have more than two things sticking out, one of them, you have to basically fall down to two. But you could, on your turn, build up like one really big and activate it a couple times to get
before
all those.
You have to
yes.
cut it back down.
So anyways, this game got a lot of hate, and I don't get it. We will play it. We'll all play it. And we'll do a review of it. But man, Spencer and I had a really good time and was like, wow.
I have a weakness for Stonemaier games and everything, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. No, I feel like
I remember it catching a bunch of heat when it came out.
Yeah.
People were like, ah.
Well, there's a reason that, because I want to say, so also, first of all, for any of you audio listeners out there, don't be turned off that Tim keeps saying, then put this here, move this, and do that. We're not getting anything either. This is all abstracted.
Yeah. He's pointing to a empty table.
Yeah.
You're just moving a timer back and forth on these different spaces.
Different tracks.
I mean, because of how much hate it got, you can tell Tim had this game before it came out, right? You were part of the
I did the pre-order.
Exactly.
Thing. So I got it early.
Initial launch.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying you're signed up.
I was
on the
not
Stag
a champion.
Myers.
No, I'm not
you
a champion.
Weren't yet. Okay.
No.
Okay.
But I did do the pre-order.
Even typically still the champions don't get it early. You're just allowed to pre-order it.
Sure. Yeah. I didn't mean like sometimes they get
it before
it shows up in retail.
I got it before it showed up in retail.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Because I pre-ordered it.
And it just now got played.
Yeah.
So that goes to show this kind
how
of
much
negative,
stigma the
yeah.
game had, right?
Because it's like, oh, I don't know. Like, it got pooped on so bad. It's like,
because trust me, there were months where I was like, hey, Tim, let's get Pendulum Play. It's a new game. It's Snowmire. Let's get it. And eventually I just gave up.
Yeah.
And now it finally got played. So
like,
cool.
Not Dan stopped asking. We should play it without
right.
him.
Without him and talk about
yeah,
how good
exactly.
it is. But I thought it was really good. And then, so after that, I played Dice Miner with Spencer.
We just reviewed that right here.
I really like Dice Miner. I had even more fun with it, and I'm gonna call out Jeff right now. Call out Jeff.
He looks up behind the desk.
That you had the score that you did is because Jeff was not paying attention to what you were drafting.
Like basically, he wasn't hate drafting Bob.
Yeah,
or he was uncovering things that I needed.
Yeah,
sure.
Basically, he just allowed Bob. I mean, now Jeff was making moves in his own best interest.
Right.
Well, what he
which
thought
should,
was his own
which
best interest.
Which should be priority one.
I forgot about the
Oh, right.
But he did nothing to stop Bob, and he was the only one who could because he was the player before Bob.
Yeah.
Now, which I may or may not have colored your experience. May or may not. Whatever.
I do think it was unfortunate that I don't know if I would play it like that again. I don't know. You know, whatever. Test stuff out. But the fact that Bob and mine's abilities were so counter each other.
So
yeah,
there is
I would probably try to pick abilities that were so drastically different.
Get
you
this,
know?
Though. There's a variant. And I don't have, if you have like the deluxe edition with the extra characters, mm-hmm. there's a variant where you play, you change your character every round.
Oh, interesting.
Which would be
do
amazing.
Like, do you like draft them?
I don't know.
Draft them or shuffle them up and deal them out randomly. That would be interesting. Yeah, because then you don't know who's showing up to your town to help you out with your mind.
Right.
Okay.
So anyways, another positive experience with Dice Miner. I really had a good time with it. And Spencer had a really good time. We actually got the two-player game done in like 20, 25 minutes, which was amazing. I taught Spencer how to play Splendor. He's like, I've never played Splendor.
Oh. It probably took 30 minutes.
Did you both hate it?
I like Splendor.
Splendor's a great game.
I think Splendor's really
great.
Great
is a really strong word.
No,
it's not terrible.
It's okay. I mean, I know I love super crunchy games.
There's
this
too much love for it, and there's too much
crunchy.
Hate for it. It is a fine game.
Sure, it's a fine game. And like I say, Sarah likes it, right? Because it's a light game. It's something we can go out to eat. We'll order our food. We'll bust it out on a tablet or a phone and play it.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's perfect amount of time that we can get it done in 15 minutes.
I am completely ignorant on this. I haven't actually played it, but I also just hate the Marvel theming on Splendor. Because
I haven't played it.
No. Well, so there's apparently like Avengers powers and like things that activate.
Sure.
I know you're like, it's the Infinity Stone. Right.
My thing is, and now it makes sense because of Loki and blah, blah, blah. But like my thing is, in Splendor, you're basically set collecting those gems.
Yes.
And so in Marvel Splendor, you're like, oh, you have three of the red Infinity Stone. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
We don't know that that's true. We think
that's what I'm saying.
True.
I haven't played, but I mean, if you're going by the exact same rules of Splendor where there's the gems and you're collecting them.
Oh, I collected one of each. Oh, I'll get Thanos.
Maybe
where's the gauntlet?
Yeah,
done in a snap.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't played it. I'm just guessing from the basic mechanics.
Shards of the Infinity Stone.
Hey, that's totally possible. Don't like that either, but it's better
because you can't break an Infinity Stone.
Right. And then,
it's Infinity.
The highlight of my day. This game was mayhem, and it was so much fun.
I can't remember.
Terror Below.
Oh yeah.
So Terror Below is like the theme is like schlocky. Midnight movie. It's Tremors, the board game.
Okay.
So the map is shaped like one of the eggs.
Graboids.
So the map is actually shaped like an egg, and these eggs are like the worm eggs that you could be running around trying to get. So they call them worms. And you're going to have a team of characters. So your top character is basically your active ability, and effectively this team of characters are like how many lives you have before you lose.
Okay.
Now there's ways to get lives back. Like you can like turn an egg into a hospital. Like you
right.
Like I got this egg here, you get a guy back.
Okay.
He goes back underneath your current active one, but now he's face up, everybody knows
that you have that guy.
That you have that guy cuz they're all asymmetric powers. Could be like extra move, pick up extra things, do this, do that. Whatever. But essentially the top of the board, you've got these cards that are like bounty cards. So if you kill this kind of worm, you're going to get a thing. It could be take a purple egg to the FBI building, right?
Yeah.
The government.
Sure.
Pick up and deliver.
Headquarters. So pick up and deliver. Now, the map is littered with rubble. So the map is like gridded from like 1 to 6 up and down, like left to right, right? And then you've got an orange die for the bottom axis and a blue die for the up and down axis. And so when the worm comes out on their card, it'll have like 4 and 3s. So, you count 4 up and 3 over, boom, that's where the worm comes out. And then when the worm, well, that's where you put the target marker.
Oh.
So you have these target markers that move around. Then you're going to play movement cards. And the movement cards are going to move the worms around because they're distractions. So like it might have these little arrows on the bottom of it that'll be like up one, like an up arrow and then maybe 2 left arrows. So that means that target marker that you play that on that worm is going to then move. So target 2, because it's in the 2 slot, is going to move up, 1 and then left 2. So you're either moving the worm closer to you or farther away from you, or maybe I'm moving it towards Dan.
Yeah.
Because I can't withstand the hit. So there's a number on each of the worm cards. They've got health and they've got like a threshold.
Does the health change each time?
Health stays the same.
Okay, just checking.
Game is kind of crap then, isn't it?
Well, now you could draw a new worm and they might have different health.
Well, that
but
makes
it's
sense.
The same worm.
Yeah.
Or it's not the same worm. It's a different worm.
Correct.
But there's a threshold marker on the worm. So that means how many cards it can have played on it, like distraction, before it attacks.
Oh.
And there's a thing on the worm card that'll show you where the worm...
What kind of attack pattern it's got and where.
Correct.
Okay.
So when he pops out, maybe it's just like each space all the way around it. And then another thing you do is when the worms pop out, you put rubble on the board. So you put these little rubble cubes. You can't move through spaces with rubble. Mm. But you can take an action and collect
clear the rubble.
And as you're clearing the rubble, you turn in three rubble for an item or a weapon. So it's super easy to get more items and weapons.
Okay.
And then the items and weapons are either like ongoing or you reveal when you're attacking. And so the worm comes up. I had this awesome one, and I can't think of what it was called now, but like Spencer was carrying all these eggs. It is going to deliver, and I had an incubation ray. So I flipped this card over, and it hatched the eggs that Spencer was carrying. And so basically on a 5 or a 6, his character died, right? You just roll a die, boom. I mean, it was chaos. Like,
so I'm guessing it's not co-op.
Oh, no. It's like first to 15 points.
Okay.
And so like the bounty cards have different victory points. Sometimes you get a point just for playing a card. Like I think I got a victory point just for playing the incubation ray. It's like take a victory point and then do this.
Did you explain, I was kind of
phasing out.
You know, phasing out because I was thinking about how good that rule is in Nemesis. But did you explain the vehicles, how you have different vehicles and they cause different noise and stuff like that?
So
too?
That goes on the movement cards.
Oh, okay. That's the same mechanic.
Right.
Okay.
So like the boots like don't
make
the thing.
Noise.
But you can drive a semi truck and that's the other thing is when
the louder it is, the more it moves.
Right. Well, so the semi truck, it's got a 7 in the corner. That gives you 7 action points. When you're done moving, you move a target to your location because you're driving around a semi truck,
yeah.
Basically.
It knows where
right? You're at. Like the bicycle is really cool because you play the bicycle and then you play a face down one on it. So the face down one can be enough to make that card trigger, but but the thing is that you don't reveal it until after you're done taking your actions. If it's enough to trigger the worm attack, then you flip over any face down cards and then move the worm again. I totally got Spencer killed with one of those because he didn't know what I knew. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I placed that card so that the worm was going to move mm-hmm. where he was going to be. And so
that
anyways,
fun.
It was a lot of back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's very like tongue in cheek,
sure.
But there's like a ton of like fun strategy and planning. And we were cackling.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We were just having such a good time with like all the stupid cards and everything. But Terror Below was a ton of fun.
I almost got this a long time ago when it came out because my sister is like number one Tremors fan in
world.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the first movie, but like she has seen every sequel, every Netflix special, everything.
Dang.
She's seen the TV show. That
it's
they did. They, there was
that.
Like a pilot for a TV show or something.
Yeah.
Huh? Damn. Oh, yeah. She's seen it. She loves Tremors. Even the bad movie. She's like, oh, it's one of the worst movies ever made.
No, you
I
mean
love
like
it.
All of them like, but one.
Yeah. I feel like that about some of the Resident Evil movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyways, Terrible.
So I was like, I can get my sister to play a game with me if I get this.
Great components, too.
Cool.
Fantastic game. And then we all got to
I got
play.
One more.
Oh, go on.
Oh, okay.
This is the beast. I played
Rising Sun.
Oh yeah,
for like 5.5 hours.
Ugh. Lordy.
Boy, did the game overstay its welcome. Boy, was it not the game's fault. Those are the two sentences I'll say.
Yeah.
So it was fantastic. It was a really good game. I liked it a lot. I still don't like the artwork style of like the board. You
sure.
know, that blandy kind of pastel-y kind of look. I don't love it. Man, those tiles are amazing.
Uh-huh.
Those tiles are so good. You're kind of drafting the actions. Like it's not drafting, but it's like I take 4 and then I play 1 and then I hand the pile to Bob and he takes the top 4, so he'll see 1 that I didn't see, right? And we're activating the and when you take an action, it has that Puerto Rico thing, which I love. That's probably one of the things that lifted the game up for me is in the Puerto Rico mechanic where if I activate an action, I get to do the action and a bonus, and then everyone else gets to do the action as well, but not the bonus.
Not
right.
Extra
right.
Fancy motion,
and I
yeah.
just and if you're in an alliance with someone, they get to do the bonus as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good game. I still like Ankh more. Now I've only played Rising Sun once. I've played Ankh like 4 times, right? But I still like Ankh more overall. Rising Sun was a really good game though. I played the Sun Clan, if that means anything for you
sure.
guys.
Plenty of expansions.
I had to try to. I can see why they're considered a little weak, though. Your asymmetric ability is if you ever tie for anything and you're higher on the track than them, sure. meaning you win the tie, then they have to give you bonuses too. Like they have to give you like a gold and a victory point, oh, and sure. they lose the gold and victory point, mm-hmm. right? So it's like a 2-point swing. But it's like, so you're kind of trying to go
trying
last
to
all the time and yeah. force ties, and it's like, man, I can see why this is really hard compared to some of the other ones where like Levi just like every card he bought is $1 max.
Oh, right.
Right, and it's just like, well, that's really useful.
Yeah, right.
True. Sure. But yeah, overall, good game. Again, I can see why it should only play in like 2 hours. The 5 hour thing was just kind of ridiculous.
That would kill me.
I was getting really frustrated. I don't get super frustrated very often, and like I was just getting to the point where I was like, come on guys, this season shouldn't take an hour. Like, you know,
right. It shouldn't.
And I had such a bad I was so good at the game too for literally going in blind. I never knew anything about Rising Sun. That day, I listened to people play it. Mm-hmm. So I had the terminology in my head, but like it was just like an audio of people playing it and talking about their moves and stuff. So I was like, okay, I understand some of the mechanics here, right? I've played Ankh. I've played Blood mm-hmm. Rage. Mm-hmm. I understand kind of what's going on here. But like the first season, Caleb said like halfway through the game, he was like, there's a reason the point track on the board goes up to 50. He was like, because people don't pass 50 very often. Like, you know, like you kind of break 50 and getting like that barely. And like on the first season, I think there were two people with 0 points, one person with like 5 points, and I had 22 points. Woo! Like, I killed it. And then the second season, I accomplished nothing. I don't know what happened. I got backed into this corner. I couldn't get the thing I want, and I got like 7 points on my second season. And then the third season, I got 23 points again. And like, I was just like, man, if I just didn't have a weak second yeah. season, I don't think I would have won because Jesse just went ham. He got no points the first season, and then he was like, oh yeah, I remember how to play, and he right. wound up ending with like 70 freaking points or something. It sure. was ridiculous. Yeah, I was just like, man, if I didn't have such a terribly weak second season, I have no idea what happened. But yes, overall, I would play it again. It was cool. I liked using the monsters. I liked my son has their own, like, I can't buy the normal monsters, mm-hmm. but I have, like, this asymmetric deck that only I can buy monsters from, so mm-hmm. that was a cool little thing that I could do.
Yeah. Was that Caleb's copy?
Yes, sure. We played yeah. Caleb's copy. Yeah,
it was used to be Bob.
Oh yeah, nice. Nice. Yeah. Oh yeah, he did mention that because it's like everything was upgraded except for like one component. And we were we joked that there were no metal coins because everything in that game was upgraded, but then their token, they're like chip yeah. money, and we're like, where's the hell's the metal coins? He was like, I don't know if Bob had them. He kept them.
No, I didn't keep them. I've got metal coins I use for everything.
We were just kidding. We were saying you put that in your bag of metal coins. Every time you get a game of metal coins, you just pop them up in your
I had this big
bag.
Cauldron full of like metal coins.
It's a cauldron, too.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, the middle game in the Eric Lang trilogy, it was good. I'd play it again. Yeah. Ankh is great.
Cool.
That's my takeaway.
Hey, games we played. How about that?
Treasure Island.
Oh, yeah, Treasure Island.
We all played Treasure Island, a deduction game. I said Hidden Movement wrongly. Deduction game yes. by Matigo. And if pirate theme, you know, basically one player is Long John Silver. Everybody else is playing as different pirates, and they are trying to find his treasure.
Yep.
And Long John Silver is trying to basically string them along long enough for him to escape from prison and then get to his treasure before himself. Everybody else can yep. find it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it plays very fast.
Yeah. Less than an hour.
It's not that hard to teach or learn.
Mm-hmm.
And the components are fantastic.
Fantastic components. The, I mean, yeah, if you check out the review I snapped to there, you'll yep. see I love the look of the board as you're literally using sextants and compasses and stuff to draw with dry erase on the board. And there's just so many lines and circles mm-hmm. and everything and people crossing paths. And mm-hmm. I love the way, that looks.
I love the clues, like within somebody within 1 mile.
Yeah. Right. Somebody right. within one mile of it, yeah.
And when you put that down and it's like,
yeah.
So then you're checking all the circles, because you write on the map, on yes. the board itself.
Yeah, and all the boards dry erase mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah. It was cool.
It was fun.
Check out our review. It was good.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's games we played, right?
Games we played.
All right, let's get into news. All right, well, I'm going to go first. Or you got news you want to do first?
I mean, my news is, it was news to me.
Sure. Okay, that's most of my news. Yeah.
So we call that Spencer news, right? Like, so he'll report on something we talked about like 3 weeks ago.
You did not talk about this 3 weeks ago.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. So one of my favorite really dry games that your sister taught me was one of the very first games that had the bump mechanic in it. Hansa Teutonica.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
You, as far as I know, you are.
There is a big box version
okay.
that comes with all the expansions and everything in it that you can get. It came out last year, so mm-hmm. it's not like it's that old of news, but a lot of the stuff got overlooked last year. But yeah, it's interactive strategy. With the expansions, you can play 2 to 5 players by Pegasus Spiel Games. And yeah, occupy trade routes, establish counting offices. And like I said, it was the first game I played that had the bump mechanic. So you could be somewhere and like somebody could put their guy there and bump you off of that spot kind of a thing.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it. It's kind of super dry.
I was going to say, I hear this talked about a lot at the same time as I think it's called Concordia. Don't you know Concordia?
Oh, I love
that. Much more area control, though.
I was going to say, they're both, a lot of people say, like, these are two extremely crunchy Euros. Like, those are, like, the two people talk about from what I've heard.
It's a little crunchy. Like, the base game's not that crunchy, but with some of the expansions and the maps and stuff, it does.
I might be thinking of the wrong game. It just seems like not very many games sound like Hansa Teutonica.
I think Concordia is way different.
But again, I'm not saying they're the same game. Yeah. I think when people are. Again, I might be thinking of the wrong game. It's just when I see like forums of people talk about crunchy Euros, those are the two names I tend to see if I'm thinking of the right game.
Yeah, but it's very like, you know, everybody's got the same kind of a board. Everybody has the same actions available to them. It's very Euro. It's very, I like it. I enjoy it. Big box version. I love the big box version.
That's awesome. Yeah.
All the expansions included.
So you're going to go get that then?
I'll probably end up getting that and maybe just trading off my copy.
Get rid of your old one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. So Peterson Games, if you follow them or a fan of them, have been like teasing for months.
No kidding. Go ahead. I've seen those though. Yeah, I get the emails.
Did
and
you
the
see
things.
What it is then?
I didn't actually see what it was. Like, but I've been seeing the waiting for it. They're showing the guy like waiting in the pool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Narcos, Narcos thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they finally have announced, a new game based off of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game that Sandy Peterson was instrumental in helping create with Chaosium Games, like 30.
Just say like in the 90s.
No. It's probably like more like in the 80s. Made it in the 80s.
That's 40s.
That's weird. I wouldn't have been able to play that then.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's called Call of Cthulhu Terror Paths. They haven't really released any other information about it.
Okay.
It's coming out in 2022.
Okay.
But this is like basically him teaming up, like, I don't know if it's getting the band back together, right? Like getting the old gang back together, and they're making a game, but it's going to be a board game published under the Chaosium license.
Label. Okay.
Right? And label. So I'm sure Peterson Games will be on there also.
Sure.
Right?
They'll go on there. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So that is some of the big news. You got anything?
A couple small things.
I got a couple other things, but go for it.
So I was telling them before we start recording, I could not find my book until right before heading down here to record today. So I don't have much written here. I was just like,
it's a blank page.
So I'm going off memory a lot with this, and we all know how that turns out, Potato Legion. But so the first thing that I saw, so these are just two game announcements I saw that were new to me. And the first one that looked interesting to me was Shazen Azadi. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Did you swear at me in German?
Yes, I did.
You might have.
So that means like freedom of government
or
something, freedom from the government or something. So it's a game about a revolution. It's semi-cooperative, and you guys are all leaders of a revolution, and you're trying to take down the tyrannical government and stuff, right?
Sounds good.
It's an interesting theme to me, semi-cooperative. I know a lot of people constantly complain about it. I tend to love semi-cooperative games. I just don't care. And it has a cool little thing, too. I don't have everything written down here from what I read, but the boards look like tiles, and you're building an area, and then the pieces that I'm not sure if they're you guys. It looks like there's too many pieces for it, so it looks like it might have something to do with an area control kind of thing, but the board has holes punched in it, and you are filling those with like wooden tokens, and so I'm wondering if that is like the political control in the area or something like that, right? And you're trying to either place those or remove them. Not entirely sure. It's more of the theme and the look that interests me on this. So check that out if semi-cooperative, freedom from government kind of thing. And then the other thing, I like space. Space is cool. And I saw a game called, I believe it's pronounced Apogee. Can't remember now. But it's the orbit around Earth when something is furthest from you. And this is a competitive game where everyone is trying to design a rocket. You're trying to be the first person to design a rocket and get it successfully launched in space and hit the apogee. Right?
Okay.
And again, I like space, so I like the space-looking board. I like the
The look of the player board kind of things that they have. It looks like there's asymmetric powers just because there were character cards in front of each person. Might not be, though. Again, I don't have everything written down here. But those are just two game announcements that I saw that both looked intriguing to me. I like both of those themes. So.
Right on. News to me.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Way early on, Board Game Rundown news episode, I talked about how there was a supposed to be a Touch of Evil 10-year anniversary edition.
Okay.
That was late and it never came out. Well, it looks like it's out now.
Like a 12-year anniversary.
I'm finally seeing, like, on social media and stuff, like, people are, like, playing it. I'm like, wait, is that really out now? Mm-hmm. So if you are a fan of Touch of Evil, the 10-year edition is like a deluxe anniversary edition. It's a big box that can actually hold all the expansions. I kind of wish that it had the expansions in it because I think some of the expansions can be hard to get. So unless they're going to reprint those and you can just add them, mm-hmm. we'll see. But it's a deluxified version of Touch of Evil.
Okay.
Pumpkin Problem, one of the newest little tiny mystery games from Grand Gamers Guild is now available for pre-order on their website, and they're shipping it out like when you order it, pretty much. Okay. So like they're cranking them out. So get on Grand Gamers Guild. These little like investigation games are really
good. They're a lot of fun.
And they're dirt cheap.
Yep.
You can reset it and give it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You use an app for like information. It's like a database, right?
Right.
And so Pumpkin Problem, Halloween themed.
Yeah.
Could be a lot of fun. There's also the Kringle Caper and the Independence Incident, right? That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Anyways, so any of those sound interesting, I would strong recommend. Yeah. It's for the price point, it's a blind buy.
Yep.
Lucky Duck Games is releasing the first two in a series of games called Crime Zoom. So these are games that are already released in Europe.
Okay.
Or France, and they're pretty big there. So they're releasing the first two.
I just checked. France is in Europe.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Can we get our sources on that?
Yeah.
But anyway, so Lucky Duck is bringing those to the U.S. Very soon. The first one is called His Last Card, and then the second one is called Bird of Ill Omen. Other than that, I know nothing about these games. Okay. But I do like mystery, you know, games, so it kind of...
Lucky Duck's had some fun ones recently.
Yeah, and Lucky Duck does some good stuff.
Yep.
Oh, and they're also releasing a new Destiny's expansion.
Ooh.
Very nice.
I would like to play that some more.
We need to play Destiny some more because that was
really
good. You
can
kick
me out of your descent, but I want back in on the Destiny.
Yeah.
We'll
see what happens.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's more or less the news I have got. I guess other news, Bob and I both pre-ordered Dune House Secrets.
Yeah.
And now I fell into... what normally happens to you with shipping.
Okay.
So, like, last Monday, I got my ship, like, a rando FedEx. You've got a package coming on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, what? I'm checking all my Kickstarters. I'm like, it can't be. It's not Great Wall. I don't know. Like, it can't be this. It can't be this. Like, Dune House Secrets doesn't come out until Essen, and Essen isn't until next week, I don't think. Anyways, it's like, it can't be that, or Essen is this week.
This week, yeah.
But it's like, oh, it can't be this, can't be this. And I didn't think I would get Dune House Secrets like the week of Essen, right? Because, and also the street date is October 15th, which is a few days after this drops.
Correct.
But anyways, then like the next day I check my update and it's like, oh, Friday, you're going to get your package. And then Friday comes and it's like pending delivery or status pending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, what the heck, man? And then Saturday, it says it has been transferred to your local post office for delivery. Please allow, 2 to 3 days or whatever
to get
it is.
Sure.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, it was in Indy.
Yeah.
And it said it was en route to, like, location.
Yep.
And then Bob is like, hey, guys, look what I got.
Yeah.
He got his copy of the game. Now, I can't be too mad because I usually get mine early.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, mine's in like shipping limbo.
Yeah.
But I was totally jealous.
Sure.
But
even, though I can't, actually, even though I can't play the game until the 15th.
Bob actually went in and swapped your guys' track.
I did.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
So we were really planning on trying, like,
trying
oh, guys,
it
it's coming. We're going to play it. We're going to play it, and we're going to get a review out real quick. But we can't because it uses an online database similar to Detective.
Yep.
And so we
It's not active
yet. It's really nice that they're doing it the way they're doing it. So it's not a dig on Portal games or anything like that. But Portal is not making the website live until the game
is in
market. In stores, yep. on the
which
street
is cool.
Date. Because I totally respect
they
that.
Did do a cool thing too, though. So if you did pre-order it, you got like a little folder thing, and like you get a piece of paper and it says like, "Okay, on the 15th, we will commence with the plan that we discussed." And this is so it's kind of
right.
like, you know, staging
yeah.
it
like
all
a
up
top
for it.
Secret
yeah,
document.
It was kind of neat.
And there's
you know?
Promos and stuff that yes. you also get mm-hmm. for pre-ordering. So by no means is this like a dig. This is my right. tale of woe. It's really all.
It's
that
just
it is.
The, it's just the watching the shipping. Like, oh, it's going right. to close. Like, wait, why are you going over there? No, yeah. come back.
And also, man, when you like order an Uber and they just cannot get to your house.
Figure out where you're at.
But. But and on the bright side for us too, this won't be for everyone, but we are going to, because of when it starts anyway, we're going to have plenty of time to play it.
Yes.
You know, it is a guaranteed play for us. We're not going to be like, "Oh, because we can't play it till the 15th, we're going to be a week late," kind of
expect
thing.
Expect on the next episode we will be talking
about it.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about it. And very likely have a review coming up shortly after that.
Shortly thereafter.
But yeah, anyway, so that was like news not news, right?
Right, yeah.
So are we ready for our topic then?
Well, I mean, I have a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
Kickstarter.
Oh, Kickstarter!
I forgot about
that. Okay, you can never remember the word.
I'm really
mine rolls into the topic.
So I went so
my new. I have a thing that's like it's not news, but it's like it should be news Kickstarter kind of.
Okay, so
connection.
News Kickstarter, go for it.
Right. Yeah. So we were asked in the comment section,
yep.
to talk about the comparison between Voidfall and Fractal.
Oh my gosh, I missed that comment.
Yes,
yeah, you're the one.
Heads up would have been helpful.
Either. You're the one that responded to it.
Wait, I don't remember that comment.
Yeah, yeah, it said it. There's a lot of discussions going in the forums about the connection between between Voidfall and Fractal. What do you guys think? Now I can only go off of the little bit I've looked at both games. So Voidfall is of course Mind Clash and Lacerda. Is it Lacerda or
Ian O'Toole did some of the art? David Turksy did some.
Turksy. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah. So it's a Mind Clash Turksy game that instantly says this is going to be a great crunchy.
Yep.
Game.
I thought Fractal. It was Golden Star. Oh. Voidfall versus Fractal debate is an interesting dilemma currently. Do you guys have any opinion on Golden Star? I'm like, I don't even know what Golden Star is.
Oh,
that was his comment.
Man, I apologize then. I misread. I took from Tim's comment that you wanted to hear the Voidfall Fractal debate because we haven't talked about that.
Go on that.
I haven't looked up Gold Star yet. I missed the end of that. You know what it was? When you read the temp thing,
right.
It doesn't scroll, and you just don't see the rest of the comments. So I thought it was asking that. So anyway, let's talk about Fractal. So Bob, you probably don't know anything about Fractal.
Nope.
So Fractal is another 4X sci-fi game made by a company who did one other Kickstarter. I don't remember their name right now. They only did one other Kickstarter, but that game does have an 8.0 on BGG. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
On BGG. So that's nice. And the thing that Fractal has over Voidfall is that Fractal is designed to be a legacy type of game. So you're doing a 4X sci-fi that's designed to be a campaign legacy too.
Okay.
So that's kind of where the differences really fall there. They both have really nice looking art and dual layer player boards and stuff like that. The components I tend to like. I don't know. Honestly, this is really hard. In Fractal, they have cool asymmetric ships like things that you're using.
Something I did notice on the Voidfall, they are doing some triple layered.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And, never mind,
yeah,
Bob.
Dual layered.
It's
so long.
It's
last
like
year.
The meme of Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah. But something else I saw that was cool too, because I don't know they have the ships, right? And they're pre-painted and whatnot. I'm pretty sure they're pre-painted. Anyways, they're on a little lift, so they've got something to hold them up. And on the base, they've got slots for you to put the cubes and stuff in there for like.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I saw
so
that.
That's kinda
I forgot
neat
about that. I didn't think they were pre-painted, but I might have.
They might not have
that.
Been pre-painted.
That might be a thing you can add on to.
It might be. Yeah. Don't quote me on that.
But honestly, the point I'm trying to make here, I guess, is that from everything that I've seen and read on both, I don't think you can miss with both. I think Voidfall is probably going to be a better game. The development team behind Voidfall is kind of proven 100% at this point, and it's going to be if you want a crunchy Euro sci-fi 4X type game, I think it's impossible to go wrong with Voidfall at this point.
Yeah.
And Fractal is more if you want that. It probably won't be as tight and as good of a game coming from the development team that you're looking at behind it and stuff. But they have an okay track record with an 8.0 4X game. Mm-hmm. At least it looks 4X. So that's a good sign. And the fact that it is a campaign
legacy-ish game means you're going to get a completely different experience than you would with Voidfall. So at this point, I don't think you can go wrong with either. While I've been filling for time, Tim, what do you think of Golden Star?
I just wanted to confirm what I thought about Golden Star. And,
oh, it's that. I looked at that one.
Yes.
I did look at that one.
Yes. And it sounds like it's right up my alley.
Cause, see, because that also has the cubes on the bases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cubes on the bases. I mean, component-wise, it looks amazing. It is a asymmetric deck-building board game. Where you're fighting in an arena.
Okay. So deck building would be a different thing in it, right?
Yeah. I think Golden Star is like a completely different animal.
Yeah, because that seems like it's got more randomness in it. If it's got deck building, there's probably more of a random element, whereas Voidfall, they're trying to reduce the randomness. Yeah.
And this is very light and tongue-in-cheek, where Voidfall and Fractal are going to be really heavy. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts on...
Well,
Golden
this
Star.
Doesn't taunt flaunt itself as a 4X game, right?
No. This is not a 4X game.
So
this is King of the Hill deck
those
building.
Those are completely different beasts.
Types of games.
I mean, yeah.
But I will say that I think that Golden Star looks like a lot of fun. Yeah, because when I read the comment, I didn't look at Fractal or Voidfall
at all.
I went right to Golden Star.
That's funny.
And then when you said that, that's why I'm like, what?
Yeah. No, I didn't see the second half. So I would say with this, though, Robert Silver, it looks like, is the person who asked that again.
No, it's Potato Legion.
Yeah.
Potato Legion.
But so to say to Robert Silver, though, the thing that I'll give you from my perspective then is I looked at all three and I read up more on Voidfall and Fractal to where Golden Star I didn't read up more on. So I'm obviously more interested in those two, which is why I thought the comparison between those two was interesting.
So as a fan of like light, punchy kind of games, I think Golden Star looks like a lot of fun. And again, components are amazing. Mm-hmm. I got to double check. I don't remember the price point on it. Okay, so the all-in is €72. But I mean, that's a huge thing with expansions, all the stretch goals.
Yeah, that's the all-in.
So I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That is not bad. $43 for the core pledge.
Oh, wow.
So for me, there's a real good chance I'm going all-in on this because I like the minis involved. I like deck building.
That's true. I love deck building so much.
I like those kind of games. You know, so where Bob is like, give me Voidfall.
Yeah, so I'll get that one. We'll play it. Then you get the other one.
And we'll be happy because we're going to have a good time playing both. So that's my opinion on Golden Star.
So that's hilarious, though. So far, our opinions are Bob is most interested in Voidfall, Tim is most interested in Golden Star, and I'm probably most interested in Fractal. There you go. That's your answer.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
No. It's a good question. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
And making us do some homework.
I tried. Sorry, I misread the question.
I guess I got like one other. I better keep it under my hat. I got a little bit of news, but I don't know that it's official yet, and so I don't want to spoil anything. Sorry. Okay. Please go on.
All right. So we ready for my
Kickstarter
that's going to lead into our topic?
Yes. Please do.
So I guess if you want to do that, let me see. Can't think of the Kickstarter. Yeah, go ahead.
Beast by Studio Midhall.
Man, what's that?
It's a one versus many type of game.
Okay.
Man, I haven't heard anything about this one.
What is this?
Well, it's almost over. No, it just launched. No, it's Hidden Movement. What?
Go.
I'm going.
Tell your thing.
I'm talking about my thing. So there's a day phase and a night phase.
Gotcha.
So during the day phase, everybody is going to draft, including drafting with the one and the many. So the cards are dual purpose, which is kind of cool. The beast player is going to do hidden movements and play movement cards face down until they attack something, in which case then their position will become revealed, which I thought that was super cool. And then once it goes to nightfall, people have a chance to upgrade and do all types of things, change the board over and things like that. I thought it looked super cool.
I love hidden movement.
Love hidden movement.
We were laughing because we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. No, we didn't go into as much depth as you just did.
Well, we're talking about hidden movement, so that's why I wanted to bring it up.
We had a commenter ask if we were interested in Beast, so we talked about it for a bit last week.
I wasn't listening to
Beast. That's why we're like, haven't heard about this one.
Yeah,
like,
I really don't pay attention. When they start talking, I'm like, okay.
Bob's like working on magic decks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe. I might have been working on.
But
$59 for the core.
So the person who asked about Beast, I think
think that was also Robert Silver.
No, I thought that was the joke about Potato
was
Legion.
Was it the Potato Legion joke?
Potato Legion.
One of them.
Potato Legion, this one's for you.
We've answered a joke from Robert Silver and from Pumpkinhead.
Or Pumpkinhead is Potato Legion.
Exactly. Yes. So we've answered a question for both. So whoever it was, though, obviously we are interested in the game because we talked about it 2 weeks in a row.
Sure. So. Well, and the other thing that's cool, too, is so they have the core pledge for 59, right?
Oh,
and
no, it was Robert Silver that said Beast.
Yeah. The all-in for 85. And then for just under $1,500, you could help develop a hunter for the upcoming expansion.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
I really like the artwork for this, too.
Yeah.
I think
the artwork is super cool. The box is really neat.
I honestly thought about talking about it on our box art things. Not like it would have made the top 10, but just because it was a cool box art I saw recently. Yep. But, yeah.
I mean, if it was like a final thing. And Beast is totally funded.
Yeah, it's totally funded. It's safe. Yeah, you've got...
I don't know, man. That box art might go...
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I said
cool.
It's really good.
Yeah, if that was out and we were doing a top 10,
it would have made my top 10.
It reminds me of Arnak, right? With the Guardians and stuff like that. But you're really fighting against them.
Cool.
So. But yeah, Beast, hidden movement.
Fantastic.
Why is hidden movement?
Topic, guys. Yeah. Bobby, slide that stack over. So this is just some of the hidden movement games that I have in my collection.
Just a couple.
I'm a big fan of hidden movement.
Same.
Style games. Dan has just kind of recently discovered that he's a fan of these.
Yeah, yes. I had only ever played Spectre Ops before, and it was fine, but that was it. And then lately, I've played so freaking many, and I'm like, this might be it. Like, it's definitely, I think, in my top five favorite mechanisms at this point.
Sure. But yeah, so we just want to kind of talk about like the variety, maybe what separates some. What are some of our favorites? I like every one of these on the table. We've got Spectre Ops, Last Friday, Letters from Whitechapel, Mind Management, and Fury of Dracula.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think Fury of Dracula is the heaviest of them because there's the most interplay. There's a lot of cards going down.
Okay. It's the longest playing, too.
Because Dracula is like leaving a trail, you know, and so when people go into cities, they're yes, but also like laying traps for the investigators too, right? As they are the vampire hunters, right? As they get into where they think he might be, and maybe he left like a vampire person there to attack them, or you know, some kind of trap, all kinds of ways and subterfuge, and then there's even combat where if you find Dracula,
it's not just
game over. It's like
you found me. Go ahead.
Yeah,
here's the stake.
Yeah. Here you go. But no, it is like then it's a battle, and so you actually have to find and kill Dracula. Mm-hmm. Makes it a little longer, but it's a really neat and in-depth experience. Theme is super strong in that. Mind management, totally unique take on hidden movement.
I was gonna say snake.
Because the way that you
the best snake game I've ever played.
The way that the hidden player is moving is a snake. They cannot double back or cross over their path. And the way that they leave clues is really neat and unique. Mm-hmm. In addition to like the crazy theme and all the stuff in the box and the hidden things in the box and around the box.
This could have been called like Subliminal the Game.
I will tell you this. And you could see this if you read the comments on the mind management review. Is there's a thing in the rule book where you go to the website and you go to a website that they give you and you type in a keyword and you will get something.
Oh, okay.
Which cool. I got.
I think you did that.
Did I show? Yeah, I did that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
It's pretty funny.
But there's also, who knows what else is hidden, right?
And
this game, it's almost got like a legacy style because depending on who wins, you can
unlock different things,
different abilities for the losing team. Mm-hmm. So when you play in future games.
Let's not say it yet. Before them out there, Bob, is your favorite hidden movement game on this table right now?
Ooh.
Tim, is yours?
Yes.
While he's thinking. So is mine. So we'll get to that later.
Okay.
All right. I like that. Okay, so anything else?
So there's...
I guess I would want to add one little a little caveat. So if you're doing simultaneous planning of your movement, would you consider that a hidden movement because you're hiding your
what's
upcoming
the game you're talking
moves?
About?
Okay, well, there's
War
two.
Room.
War Room would be a big one. Uh-huh. Also, Lords of Zidit. I haven't played Lords of the Dig.
You pre-program all of your moves ahead of time, right? And then everybody reveals
your
moves.
So, War Room for you, I would say, because I totally see the hidden movement thing in there. Mm-hmm. The thing with that is, this gets into a conversation I have with people all the time, right?
I think it's a mechanic.
Exactly.
It's an aspect of the game.
Exactly.
It's not the meat of the game.
And that's what I'm going to say. A game can have hidden movement in it and not be a hidden movement game.
Right.
And that's
because snow on the tile, it's a winter-themed game.
That's correct. That's something that I have a conversation with people all the time, right? To where, like, if a game has a tiny bit of deck building in it, but you're doing worker placement, you're doing all these things, is it a deck building game or is it a this game with some deck building in it?
Because, like, Taverns of Tiefenthal is not a deck building game, but you are building a deck.
It has a very unique deck building mechanism in it, but I would never tell people this is a deck building game. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Right. So that's where I would put
Game of Thrones. I will go back to my original answer and say yes.
Okay.
Game of Thrones is similar to that, right? Game of Thrones.
Because you're
secretly assigning movement and orders, right? Yeah. Which may be movement.
Correct.
But anyways, so letters from Whitechapel. Super awesome theme. You were trying to hunt down Jack the Ripper.
Yes. And look at that box.
That's going to come up in a future video or a video that just came out.
Yeah.
But anyways, so somebody's playing Jack, Saucy Jack, and they are trying to get back to their hideout every night after they kill somebody.
Killing a wretched. Yes.
A wretched. And then everybody else is investigators. The game does its best to be historically accurate.
Yes.
So I believe it
uses like the same like detectives, like your names and whatnot.
So I mean, it's respectful of like a real life horrible thing.
That's
that
something
happened.
I really appreciate about this and Whitehall is Whitechapel covers in a realistic way the Whitechapel murders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Whitehall covers in a realistic way a night that happened in Whitehall where there were body parts found around the city and stuff. And the fact that they were able to pull two games off with things that actually happened in this cool way and that they're relatable. And it's very cool that they were able to do
very well.
Yeah. I don't own Whitehall Mysteries and I didn't tell Dan to bring it, but that game could be on this table as well.
Easily.
Very easily. It is a fantastic,
hidden movement game.
Lighter version.
This is Whitechapel Light.
Yes. Of Whitechapel.
Yep.
But Letters from Whitechapel, super cool. Yep. Really neat. If that theme doesn't bother you, which it might bother some, check it out. But then, you know, speaking of themes that could bother people, last Friday.
Yeah. I have not been able to play this one
Same.
Yet.
I enjoy Last Friday, but I am a fan of like 80s slasher movies. Mm-hmm. And this is IP adjacent to Friday the 13th, right? Yep. So there's a maniac on the loose. And this can be played multiple ways. So you can play it where you're going to play through the whole game, which is going to go in like five different chapters, I believe. And so what's going to happen is in the first chapter, the camp counselors all show up to the camp and they find dead bodies. And they're like, ugh! And that means the maniac is somewhere. And they are now trying to get to different, they need to find the keys to the cabins and they need to get the cabins and get inside. The night ends when the last living counselor gets inside of a building.
Okay.
Into a cabin. Then the next chapter starts and they're trying to find the slasher.
Of prices.
Yes.
Sorry.
You must stop.
It literally was like, prices.
With each chapter, like it rotates, it flips back and forth. Who's hunting who? There is eventually a chosen one, and then the maniac
chosen
is
one.
Trying to kill the chosen one.
I'm coming.
And it goes back and forth. You could play the whole game by alternating between the chapters, or you could just choose to play one of the chapters and play it in that way. The nice thing is, if I kill Bob,
Please?
Isn't dead. He just grab another character. You show up at this spot on the map where there's like a bus. Literally,
you're
the counselors are getting dropped off.
You're That's Tommy funny. Jarvis coming back.
Okay.
So, I mean, now there are a limited amount of counselors.
Sure.
Like, so it's not just infinite.
Right.
But I mean, it's hard to kill so many people, especially early on.
Tell me about it. It's so much work.
But there's a lot of really fun things with the theme and like the way that they move. Mm-hmm. The movement works similar to like Whitechapel, like numbered spaces versus other
squares and whatnot.
You know, other the blank dots. But Last Friday is pretty fun. And again, if that theme appeals to you, I think you'll have a good time with it. Now we'll go into Spectre Ops. And this is going to go into this. So this is like a sci-fi future. One person's a rogue agent and they're trying to sabotage something, and everybody else works for the corporation.
Yeah, 1 to 2 people, depending on player count.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. Right, right, right. Because there is potential for a hidden traitor in this one. And out of all of these, this is the only one with a hidden traitor.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. If you're playing a full 5-player player count, you have to have a full player count, though.
Yeah.
That's
cool. You get a hidden traitor. And the other fun thing about this, right, is that the hidden person in this, kind of like in mind management also, but with more variety here, is you don't know what agent they are playing as until you see them.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, now I know I'm going after blah, 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 right? Uh-huh. It's the ninja or maybe the spider lady or whatever, right?
Yeah, you got to like see their silhouette.
Yeah, the puppet's a real dude, right? Yeah, because he can control the car.
Okay.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
Sure.
And like mind management, it's subjective as to who's the good guy.
Who's the good guy and bad guy?
Who's the bad guy? But anyways, the theme is really awesome in this. The components are great. The art is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the way that this game plays. Spectrops was one of the first hidden movement games I played. Blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite mechanics instantly. And I was just going to point out something really interesting to me that just occurred as I'm looking at all these games. These are all way different themes.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of Whitehall Mysteries, right? Because you would literally, like, it's the same theme as Whitechapel. But, I mean, these are all way different themes.
Mm-hmm.
And they all play, I feel like they all play differently enough that, like, I'm very comfortable having all of these in my collection.
Right.
And I will probably add Whitehall Mysteries to my collection because...
You want something lighter.
It's lighter, quicker. And I can play that easier, but still... like scratch that Whitechapel
There's not
itch.
Very many games that have as many deep mechanics as this and can play in 8 minutes.
that's right.
I can't drop that joke.
It messed up so bad.
Yeah, I mean, these are probably the most similar theme-wise, and they're not even close, but it's like, you know, agents, government
agents.
Stuff.
Yeah. They both have agents in them.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They're exactly the same game.
I'm just saying. But
and
yeah.
there's even another game in the Spectre Ops universe, Crossfire. It's more of a social deduction game, which is it's really good. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a card game, social deduction card game, right?
Yep. But
so
I'm impressed with all of these games, right? So there's 5 games right here, and this isn't even all of them, but 5 games right here, and they all have completely different themes, and I think they're all recommendable. You know, like I just feel like all of these are really good. Really solid.
Yeah.
I mean, from what you've played, you enjoy these.
I'm sure I would like Last Friday if I played it.
Sure.
I don't want to stand that one up because I don't know where you have the components.
No. They should all be pretty snug. I don't hear like the cascade of stuff. But yeah, man. I mean.
Yeah. Don't do this with Lords of Waterdeep.
No.
Oh, that'd be so terrible.
I do have an insert for Lords of Waterdeep, which prevents most of that.
I was putting away board games once, and my wife put Lords of Waterdeep on the counter. She stood it up, and I was just like, just so you know, you've ruined everything.
Oh, that's rough.
Okay, so of these.
So in the comments section right now, don't cheat. Guess our favorites. If you've been watching our last couple episodes, we have all stated, I think.
Have we?
Our favorite. I know you. I think you have, and I know I have.
Because I'm looking at them. I'm having a hard time deciding.
Oh, really? Okay.
Seriously? Okay.
Have
we given them enough time to comment? Or we should wait for...
Yeah. Well, Tim needs time to think of it.
No, that's enough time. Well, you guys go first. You know that.
Well, so I've talked about mine over the last couple weeks. I think mine's the most obvious. I've been very adamant talking about Letters from Whitechapel. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite.
So do you like Letters from Whitechapel more than Whitehall Mysteries?
That is actually a tough call. They're really close. I think I like Whitechapel slightly more.
Okay.
But at the same time, because it's crunchier. I tend to like crunchier. But at the same time, I will play Whitehall more.
Sure.
Right? It's just shorter. It's faster. It's easy to teach. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think if I got to choose and we had like unlimited time, it's just like pick one day and I'd probably pick Whitechapel.
Sure.
But yeah, I love the theme. I love the art. Everything in there. We talked about recently with Treasure Island. Mm-hmm. Everything in there is designed that way for a reason and fits the theme.
Yep.
And I like that. Is it the most attractive thing? No, it's not supposed to be. It fits in the time, era, and the world that it was in.
Absolutely.
I love what you're doing. I love the puzzly feeling nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it can be crunchy, but it's also, I mean, a pretty streamlined game. Like, Jack definitely has the more complicated. He has to understand how to reset the round and stuff. And even that, it's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mentioned in my mind management review, man, I love this game, but there's one hidden movement game I like more currently, and it's Letters from Whitechapel.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I mean, totally solid. Depending on the day, it could change between one or two of these.
I have a feeling Bob's is the same one.
Same one.
Yep.
Yeah, Whitechapel.
Yep. I really enjoy that. Most of the time I end up playing as Jack. Just because I'm usually the most familiar with the people.
You're usually
that
teaching.
Yeah, I'm usually teaching. And I really enjoy the kind of cat and mouse behind it, you know, and trying to, I'm going to lead them this way, and then I'm going to cut back this way and go up to where my hideout's at and whatnot. Yeah, I really...
Yeah, there is a lot of cat and mouse with this one.
Yes.
I feel I really like also with that. Spectre Ops.
A little bit, yes.
There can be.
Because you can kind of give people a peek of where you're at, or you can use, like, different technologies and tools, to like set off alarms. Yeah, and get people to, oh, he's over here. Like, I'm over here.
But neither of you have played Fury of Dracula.
I have played Fury of Dracula, like when you first got it, and it was not this edition.
Yeah, we played second edition.
I also haven't played it, but I've watched a lot of videos on it. People love it. It's very famous. So,
what I think we might need to do is this weekend, because we're all going to be together for a gaming weekend, is maybe try to play a game of Fury of Dracula.
I don't see why not. I don't know what your guys' plans are. I'm planning on like being like up from like 8 to like 2 a.m.
You haven't gone to any cons with me, dude. Like, I am up early and I stay up late. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to squeeze in as much as I can.
Bob and I started a learning game of Star Wars Rebellion at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, it was past midnight.
Nice. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I will pass out at the table.
But I didn't care because I wanted to play it. Like, we both wanted to play it so bad and still had a fantastic time.
That was the night that I probed every planet. That game.
Oh, nice. Yes.
It took that long.
I had nice. But it was fun.
That was a great game.
Which game, not just of these five, but which hidden movement games do you guys like the most? And more importantly, maybe, which one are you guys looking forward to playing the most?
Do you want to know my favorite
one? Not really.
Oh, I skipped you.
You did.
No, I'm saying I skipped you. It wasn't a question.
Cool. I was just letting you know.
We'll finish your thought. Then.
Well, I mean, that's it. Which one did you, which one are you looking forward to? Like, Mind Management's brand new. Are you really looking forward to this? Or you're like, oh, that one's not really for me, but like last Friday's theme seems hilarious, right? Mm-hmm. Which one are you most looking forward to playing that you haven't played yet? Again, not just of these, any game that you would classify as hidden movement.
So which one do you think is my favorite?
I'm thinking because of theme last Friday, but I know you love Mind Management. Yeah, so I think
Mind Management was going to be my guess.
I think it's one of these two for sure. Yeah. I'm not sure if Mind Management took it over the Jason Friday the 13th theme for
sure,
you. That's my thing.
I do love me some 80s slashers. So the problem is depending on the day you ask me, it could be before Mind Management, I would have said between these two.
Yeah. Right. I know you like that one too. I just didn't think you liked it as much.
But I think, I don't get to play Fury of Dracula as much because it takes a little longer. It's a little more complicated.
Yep.
Whitechapel is so freaking good. And Spectre Ops is really, really, really good. And I will always love it because it was one of the first ones I played that did that.
Yeah, it was
an
introduction. Sure.
But right now, I mean, they're like, because we keep talking about last Friday, like we might be playing both of these this weekend.
Yeah.
Just if we play like
Why not? You know, like we don't have to play the whole thing.
Just play like two chapters so you can see one side and then the other side, right? And you could be fine putting it down and being like, well, that was good. Like I'm done. And you could do that in 45 minutes to an hour tops, right? But I think right now I think it is Mind Management.
Yeah.
I think right now the theme of it, I love the way that it plays. Now, I bought the deluxe edition blind, and I'm so glad I did because the components are amazing. They are fantastic.
Yep.
I love the artwork. I mean, I love the theme. I love all the hidden stuff. But, I mean, Fury of Dracula is by far, I think, the heaviest of these on the board.
The box says 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And boxes always sell you short.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always like, oh, it's only 2 to 3 hours.
And then the next longest one is Whitechapel. And then these all get shorter. And I think the other ones you could play. Last Friday you could play longer depending on how far you decide to go.
Sure. But I would say Whitechapel, if you've got an experienced Jack, it doesn't take quite as long.
Yeah, but that just means they're gonna win fast.
Well, it also depends on how the other team. I mean, ask Patrick how long his game was. That was just
another
funny
8 minute game.
No, it wasn't quite 8 minutes, it was more like 12.
You know, a game that I forgot to bring because I didn't put it. So I've got like the way I organize my games is I put like all my hidden movement games like close together.
Sure.
Well, there's I got all my IP games like based on TV shows and movies games like in a separate section. And there's one that is not on this table that needs to be because it is really good. Narcos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You talk about that a lot.
Narcos is really good. Really, really good, really tense. And I think that's another aspect of these games that I really like is the tension that it builds as people are like, I don't know where he's at.
Yeah.
He's going to win. And it's like,
And the other person's like, they're staying on top of me. I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
When we were playing Whitechapel, and like Dan every time was like pointing like to the space I'm standing on.
I literally kept saying,
it's got to be somewhere.
I kept saying, like, I swear 72 is an important spot. And Bob's like, that's because that's the route I keep taking back to my hideout.
But thankfully, they didn't listen to him. So I'm like, yeah, don't listen to Dan. Listen to Dan.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually that's good advice.
In games, it's almost always bad advice, but everyone follows it. So it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, so. Narcos, again, not on this table, but should be.
There's so many that we can talk about.
But yeah, guys, what are some of your favorites? Like Dan said, what are we missing out? Why do you hate hidden movement games?
Right, you fool.
And why are you wrong about that?
Yeah.
why are you okay living such an incorrect life?
Yeah,
right. But, you know, anyways, we've been playing a lot of these. I was excited to kind of talk about them, throw a bunch on the table and just go, hey, let's dig into these. And I think, though, out of the ones we have all played, we all like all of these.
Yeah. I haven't had a flop yet. I mean, like, my management is kind of the hotness. I've only played it, like, the one time.
Yeah.
It didn't really blow me away.
You might also need to sit behind the shield.
You know what you should do? You're going to have an opportunity, if you want, to sit behind the shield and play because we've been asked to teach this.
Oh,
one
yeah?
of us.
Okay.
Right. And, okay. And Bob tends to thrive behind the shield.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. I'm willing to try it.
You're good at these anyways. Okay. You know? But anyways, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Please check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics. Jason and Katie over there do a pretty okay job most of the time. They got an ongoing YouTube channel with just videos all the time. I'm so jealous of all the awesome stuff Jason gets to put out. And then they've got a weekly podcast that is can't miss. I really enjoy it every week.
Yep.
Even when I don't know what they're talking about.
Even when they're just talking crap about us the whole time.
Well, mostly
Dan.
I used the royal us.
You did. You did.
Yeah.
I believe we were specifically mentioned. Well, actually, I believe they specifically mentioned that you're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
They kind of leave me out of it.
Yep. Right.
For the most part.
You're just not worth even acknowledging.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what's worse.
Yeah. Right. Being constantly slammed like Dan or just completely ignored like Dan.
Right.
At least I'm a nuisance to them.
I'm not even worth their disdain. Dane.
That's right.
But also check out on our sister channel the Miniatures Rundown, where CJ and Josh
nailed it. He's got it written on the inside of his arm.
No, they cover basically all things tabletop miniatures. You know, so you got your Warhammer, your X-Wing. They're gonna do Crisis Protocol stuff, and they got all kinds of stuff. They paint. Jeff is over there occasionally. They paint Jeff. Weird, guys, but it's worth watching because just. Don't
Check
know. Paint me like one of your
Art.
French girls.
Okay. Hey, aw.
Everyone knew that was coming.
Yeah, you had to, right? You had to. But anyways, guys, thank you again. And please engage with us in the comments. I love it so much, whether it's on BoardGameGeek or on the YouTube channel or even on the Facebook group. We've got a Facebook group. Please ask to join.
Everything's in the description. Well, the BoardGameGeek isn't in the description. I guess I could add it to the description. Mm-hmm. We prefer your comments on the YouTube video because everyone sees those.
Yeah.
If you do on BoardGameGeek, it's mainly going to me.
Yeah, because I always log in under my own profile and not the the channel profile. Because Dan's like, well, you guys are never on BoardGameGeek. And I'm like, correction.
I didn't mean it like that, but yes. Yeah.
I know, but it's fun to...
Also, real quick, I want to plug this. If you're in our Northern Indiana area.
Yes. I've been wanting to talk about that.
Yeah. Our Meeple meetups are going to start back up. And we're getting people together at our local game stores to play games. So find us on Facebook.
Find the Meeple Game Society.
That's in the description as well. It's always linked to Meeple. It's been dead for almost a year because of COVID.
It's alive.
And everything.
It's
but
alive.
we're going to be hosting proto spiels and get togethers. And we do, we've done a blind. Auction, like, I mean, yeah.
All types of fun stuff.
If you're anywhere in the Michiana area, we
Trade
host
tables.
Board game nights. Yeah. And, know, they can go, you know, they used to go like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's all day
things. All day things. Like some Saturdays, some Sundays, and Proto Spiel will go all weekend.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, for the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I was Dan.
I'll see you
Thanks
next time.
Thanks.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and let's plays. And as always, thanks for watching.